shook. The earth shook. We had an earthquake in New Jersey. It's been 250 years. And suddenly the earth shook. I'm telling you, there could be another suddenly, and I'm expecting it. That's why I come into the house of the Lord. There could be another suddenly. Hallelujah. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I don't want to be the one to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. I've done it before. I came in here all mush and angry and angry with myself and the way I just bowed down to this world. And I came in here and I left the same way. I quenched the Holy Spirit. No more. Not in the house of the living God. Not in the house of the living God. No more. I recognize that the Holy Spirit is readying us. I recognize that the Holy Spirit is building his house. And when I say that, I pray if any one of us hears he's building his house, you don't think about the four walls. That better not be your first thought. Your first thought better not be, oh, he's building this house, a wall build. No, he's building me. He's building you. He's building the body on what? Jesus Christ. He is the head and he's the cornerstone. He's the foundation that he is building on. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I believe that the trumpet is sounding. It's coming to the church. The trumpet is sounding. It is saying it's not by my power. It's not by my will. It's by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I hear him saying, be ye baptized with Spirit and with power. Question we got to ask, what Pastor Terry asked us a couple weeks ago, what are we going to do with that? That's how he put it. What you going to do with that? What's Dino? What you going to do with that? Is this going to be a 12:30 thing and that's it? I'm going to wake up and do the grind tomorrow? No, not me, Lord. No, it's not going to be that. God's building a house. And you know, when he told me he was building a house, he said, guess what? It's a one of a kind. It's a carpenter special. Hallelujah. When he builds the house, it's a carpenter special. You're getting one of a kind. Hallelujah. There ain't no other house that is like this house that is the house of the Lord. And so God, forgive us. I thank God. You know, he's been showing us his house. His house has his word. His house has his spirit. His house has his love. His house has his humility. His house has unity. And he reminded me, you know, when he builds a house, the Bible says that a house that is divided, it falls. But that's why his house is unified. His house is going to stand forever. What he's building in you, what he's building in me, that's a forever thing. That's something that's not temporal. That's something that's not worldly. That's forever. And so the Bible's, this is what they say. It's better to give what you can't keep so that you can gain what you will never, ever lose. He's calling us, Burlington. He's calling us. He's calling us. He said, you can be Burlington, you can be Bristol, you can be Ben Salem or Bordentown. It don't matter where you are. He said, I'm going to send you out. You're going to be the witnesses of my spirit. You're going to be a witnesses of my love. You're going to be a witness of my power. For in these end days, hallelujah. Woo. He's reminded us so clearly in these weeks. He's let us know, listen, you can do nothing without me. You are a branch and I am the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. He's calling us to dependency. He's calling us to obedience. You know who walked in dependency and obedience, it sounded like Jesus. Jesus said, I don't say anything that I don't hear the Father say. Jesus said, I don't do anything that the Father's not doing. He said, it's not even my will. I only do the Father's will. That was dependency and that was obedience. But you know what that equals? When you're dependent and obedient with the Holy Spirit, you know what that equals? Here's a little math, kingdom math. Hallelujah. I thank God for kingdom math. You know what that equals? That equals with God. When you say dependent and obedient, that equals with God. And you know what my Bible tells me? My Bible tells me with God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible, but with man, they are not. That's the kingdom math he's calling us to. He's calling us to something that we don't understand because he's saying all things, things that we haven't even thought of, things that we haven't even imagined. He's saying these are the things I'm calling you to. Like we sang, here as it is in heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy, the kingdom, here as it is in heaven. And all these things shall be added. I thank God for a seek first people, a one thing people. I thank God for the one thing. In 2 Corinthians 3:3, if they could put that up, it says this. Clearly. What's that word? Clearly. If you weren't saying to yourself when you woke up this morning, clearly, I pray God, Holy Spirit, gives you a clear vision of this. You are a letter from Christ. I pray each and every one of us will know that we are living epistles from Christ. It goes on to say, this letter is written not with pen or not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. That's the kind of letter that God is writing right now. He's saying it's carved not out of tables and stones, but out of human hearts. That's something I can't do. That's something you can't do. That's something God does. That's something he is saying. It's a letter that's written by the Holy Spirit from the living God. We are living letters written by the Spirit of the living God. You want to put a note down? Put a note down on that. We are living letters from a living God by the Spirit. Hallelujah. These letters of our lives are being written by the Spirit. Go on to verse 4. Verse 4 says this, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in ourselves. Nah. In what? Our great trust is in, through, we sang it. He came from heaven to earth. He came to earth, to the cross to the grave. I wasn't singing it. I know better. Quick side note, I was here as a young boy and I was singing. There was a dear sister, Pina. She was in her late 80s and she was sitting in the front. And I didn't know if she heard real well or not. I didn't think she did. And she turned around and she goes, all right, you're singing a little loud. I said, oh, sorry, sister Pina. I was a 12-year-old boy. Hallelujah. I was like, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. I remember it like it was yesterday. That was over 40 plus years ago. Anyway, praise be to God. Our trust is in God through Christ. Verse 5 says, it is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. 6, he has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant that is not written with laws. How is it written? But by the Spirit. That's how this covenant is written. That's what your enabler is. That's what is this written letter of Christ that he says clearly, make sure you know today, you are a living letter written by a living God in the Spirit. It goes on to say, and that old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, that Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. My confidence, our confidence, our boast is in Christ and Christ alone and in his Spirit in us. It's his Spirit that giveth life. I love what verse 8 says. Just go to verse 8. Shouldn't we expect? Hold on. Oh, what are you expecting? I love the word. When I start reading the word, I read, shouldn't we expect? And I stop and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Expecting. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory? Ha. That's what our expectation should be. Our expectation shouldn't be we just come into the house and it's the same as last week, or that we come in here and it's going to be we already figured it out in our mind and we already know what we're going to do. We had an order of service. Praise be to God. Thank you, God, for order. But let me tell you something. We always give the order to the Holy Spirit. He said your expectation better be on something that is far greater. There's a glory under the new way. And now that the Holy Spirit is giving life, far greater. That's my expectation. High Street Worship Center, is that your expectation? Let me tell you something about it. There was a parable in Matthew 25. And you know what happened in Matthew 25? The great master came and he gave one 5 talents. And he gave one 2 talents. And he gave one talent. He gave unto them something precious, something valuable. And you know what one of them did? They took it and they hid it and they buried it. And when he came back, he said, where is it? What happened? Did you sow it? And did you reap from it? And what happened? And he said, no, I hid it. And he said, that was wicked. That was slothful. That was not what we were supposed to do with it. High Street Worship Center, there's an expectation and gifts that have been given unto us that he is saying, don't take that talent and don't put it in the ground. Take that talent and I'm telling you, go labor with it. Go to work with it. Go take it. It's precious. It's valuable. It has power. This is what Paul wrote. I love what Paul wrote. I love Paul in the Bible. I love the Word of God. In Philippians 1:21, this is what it says. Paul goes, for to me. For me. Can you say for me? Living means living for Christ. I mean, he summed it up. The truth of the matter is, it goes on and says, and dying is even better. Now, I'm going to break that down a little bit for you because I'm going to share with you a place from me. For so long, I used to read that verse and I made it all super spiritual. Oh, man, God, I'm not there. You know, dying is gain, God. I got real messed up with it. You know, oh, wait, dying is gain, God, I'm not there yet. And he goes, Dino. He goes, I'm telling you, I'm trying to make this practical to you. I'm trying to break this down to you, High Street Worship Center. Living is for Christ. That's what he's highlighting to us. He's letting us know this is about now. This is about our life now. There's the practicality about it. Hallelujah. He's coming for our lives. We don't need to get all bound up and thrown. Oh, man, am I there yet to understand that to die is gain? No, how about to say what Jesus said to the crowd? You know what Jesus said to the crowd? There was a whole crowd gathering. He said, if any of you want to be my follower, where'd he go with this? Where did he go? If Paul said, my life is living for Christ, Jesus said this to the crowd. If any of you are going to be my follower, you must give up your own life. You must deny yourself, give up your way, and take up your cross daily and follow me. Christ made it clear. It's for right now. It's here. It's not for tomorrow. Paul made it clear. He said, for me to live is for Christ. High Street Worship Center, I don't know. That's what I'm sensing in my spirit. I thank God for where he's been leading us and guiding us to. And right now he's saying, I'm coming for the life. I'm coming for the very life. The 24/7, the ins and outs, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. The daily grind. Hallelujah. Because you know why he wants that? Because he ain't so caring about just what happens here. He wants the lives because he's not just so worried about, oh wait, how did we do up in here? He wasn't worried about whether we were, you know, playing the notes and singing all the songs perfect, because they never are, you know that. But praise be to God. Thank you for the Spirit of God. He's coming because he's taking us, remember, he's taking us through revival waters. So from revival, we're going into a harvest field, and from a harvest field, a transformation is coming. And so he's coming because he's preparing us to be his witnesses. That place, Brother John, in you that you keep battling with, that thing you're saying, oh God, I want to get it right. That's him just saying, I'm preparing you to be my witness. I'm giving you my testimony. You are going to be the living letter written by the living God by his Spirit. We will be the living letters written by the living God in his Spirit. We go back to the question, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this wonderful Christ? What are we going to do with this cross that he brought us to? What are we going to do with this Spirit of God that is within us? This temple. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. I would ask each and every one of us to consider that we would make sure that we are trusting through Christ to God, and that daily, 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 we are turning and yielding to Jesus Christ's Lordship and to the power of the Holy Spirit within us. He's the sufficient one. He's the author. He's writing letters. He's the author. He's the Spirit that's writing this living letter in us. He's the author. Let me tell you something. A dear sister in the house, we love her, Sister Janae. Janae was here a couple weeks ago, and in the middle of service, we were sitting here, and we had entered into his gates, hallelujah. We had entered into his courts, glory. And we were in a place where we were just worshiping, and we were at his presence, and we were saying, magnify, glorify your name. And she opened her eyes, and she saw a vision in the house. And she saw angels in the house, and each angel was holding a note. And these little notes were letters. And the angels came to each one in the house, and he gave a letter, a note to them. Why? Because God is letting us know we are those living letters. He's writing it. He's authoring it. We had 9 people baptized 2 weeks ago in the house. What's he doing? He's writing a letter. Hallelujah. He's saying they're dead now to self, and they are now brought up in the newness of life. Because there is water baptism. But let me tell you today, I'm sorry, I haven't gotten to the teaching yet. Oops. There's also a baptism of spirit. Hallelujah. That's what Pastor has been leading us to. And that brings us to our teaching today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We've made spirit baptism a lot of other things. We've got it a pretty convoluted and pretty murky, because we were only kind of dealt with what we were comfortable with, and what we weren't comfortable with, we didn't deal with. What we understood, we, oh, okay. And what we didn't understood, we said no. It created a lot of debate. It grieved, I believe it grieved God, because all he was saying, he was going to say, I give you my spirit. And so we've actually made many times, we made a form of religion and a form of godliness, and we denied the very power therein because of what we didn't understand. Matter of fact, we made church a place where man could come in and man could catch and man could contain and man could try to control. God, forgive us. That's not the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is not catch, contain, and control. The kingdom of God, hallelujah, is I'm going to pour my spirit into you, and I'm going to equip you, and I'm going to release you. That's what God is doing in these hours. He's not trying to get us all making a big church and a big numbers in one place. He's equipping us so that he can release us. So we've been having a lot of gatherings and events happening in church buildings. There were gathering and events inside church buildings. But God said, no, I'm coming with kingdom service here as in heaven. That's what he's coming for. He's coming for what we sang. The atmosphere will not be the same. The atmosphere will be different. Hallelujah. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, that we would be filled for his purpose. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is being filled for purpose. And I'm going to just go over some places that I believe that he's calling us, High Street Worship Center, to be filled for purpose. And the first place that I believe he is baptizing us in his spirit to be filled for is to behold him. That's number one. Number one, I heard you already said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The baptism of the spirit is that we would behold him first. You know what? Jesus knew this. I'm just going to show you in the scripture. Jesus knew this. He was with the disciples. How intimate was that? They were together. And Jesus said this, I'm no longer going to be present in the body. And he knew the purposes that were to come. He even knew what his purpose was, but he knew their purpose. And he said this, he did not want them to, in days and weeks to come, to be without that intimacy, without that place of having him so close. And he made it clear to them. He said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. He said, and I will be leaving soon, but I will not leave you alone. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. And whom I send to from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. What is he going to do? That Spirit of God is going to testify of Jesus. He knew that the Spirit baptism, the Spirit we were going to get, was so that we would still have the intimacy, the ability to behold God. And he said, for you will know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Hallelujah. He made it known. He says, because then you will bear witnesses and testify. What are we going to do? We're going to bear witness and we're going to testify. Hallelujah. I thank God. God was a spirit. God came and incarnated himself in his Son. God died on the cross. God was buried. God was resurrected. And his Son ascended. And then what was left? What was left was the promise to say, now send the very Spirit, so that there was no break in intimacy. That there was the only break in intimacy was when Jesus went to hell to get the grapes and he had that separation. That was the only break. And that was the break we were supposed to pay. That was the break that was for me. That was the break for every one of us. But Jesus took that. Spirit of God is the one that gives revelation of the Father and the Son. He brings that relationship to us. Holy Spirit should never. I read a book a couple years ago. It was titled The Forgotten God. The Holy Spirit, the Forgotten God, that we, the church of God, those that were filled with His Spirit, that we would go day in and day out, and we wouldn't be those communicating with the God that lives with us. The only denominator that's the same between here and heaven is the Spirit. The only denominator between here and heaven is the Spirit, and that's what we got within us. That's the God with us. The God with us is the Spirit of God. And He says, you'll have intimacy. I'll relate to you who the Father is. I'll bring you the love of the Son. I'm going to encounter you with heaven on earth. That's God. And it takes God to know God. He's the one who brought us through this. And so you know what He pricked my heart with? If it takes God to know God, then why do we get all of a sudden in a place that now He's telling us we got to grow with Him, but we ain't getting to know Him more? We ain't going and talking in the Holy Spirit, talking with His Word, being with Him. And forgive us, a lot of us had come for many years that we got the Holy Spirit. God died for us so He would change our destination after we died. That wasn't it. That's gonna happen. Him dying will change our destination when we die. But that wasn't the whole story. The whole story was that He wanted us to be one now. He wanted us to be heaven on earth now. His Spirit in us. That's the intimacy. And you know what intimacy brings? I'm married. Praise the Lord. 27 years. Glory be to God. I thank you, Lord, for that. That's a gift from heaven. That's a gift. Hallelujah. Intimacy brings connection. Intimacy brings connection. And He gave me an analogy. He showed me the plug for all the, I'm a high school teacher and I taught preschool. He showed me a plug. When you plug something into the wall, there has got to be the connection of it. Have you ever had something that wasn't, if it's not connected, there's no power. Did you ever have something that was coming out of the connection and all of a sudden the lights start, the light blink, you're like, what's going on? Oh, wait, I gotta connect again. The plug's coming out of the outlet. Holy Spirit's telling us today, He's the power. The Spirit is the power. We gotta stay connected. Because you know what happens? When that power cord starts coming out of the outlet a little bit, the clock goes back to some odd time. When the lights go out, when you're not connected, you're going to be in the dark. You're not going to know the time or the season. You got to stay connected. You got to stay connected. If you're starting to say, wait a minute, what time it is? He's saying, wait a minute, my Spirit lives within you. Again, intimacy. Intimacy to behold. Hallelujah. I'm praying that God would give us this place, hallelujah, where we crave personal intimacy, that we get to a place that we say connected, that we say a place to say power of God, that we say make us hungry for your presence and for your Spirit that fills us. Because let me tell you, that Spirit filling isn't just once. It's not just one time. That Spirit filling, that's ongoing. That's daily. Come on. Does anybody bear witness to that? Have you ever had days where you're just like, you on empty? And He's going, come on now. I'm going to charge your battery. I want you to plug in with me. I want you to look me eye to eye. I gave you my Spirit because I want you to see me. I want you to then see me seeing you. Glory be to God. I love looking and seeing God's eyes and then Him seeing me. But you know what I also love? I love seeing God's eyes and seeing you. I love seeing that. I love seeing. I ain't just saying, oh God, you see me. But I see what He sees when He sees His body. That's what Jesus saw when He says, I'm going to endure the cross for the joy that was set before Him. He saw what was before Him. Talking about intimacy, talking about Spirit. You know what my Bible tells me? I love this. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. You got the Spirit of God? Spirit of God lives in you. He's calling you to walk with Him. He's calling you to talk with Him, be in step with Him. He says, as many that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God, and they have received the Spirit of adoption, and they cry, what? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You got the Spirit of God. Stay connected, because he's saying, guess what? You're my child. I'm being intimate. I'm letting you behold kingdom here on earth. But you know, that Spirit that baptizes us so we can behold him doesn't stop there. Because what you behold is what you become. That's why he poured his Spirit out. He wanted us to know that when his Spirit would come in us, so that we could then see him, what we were beholding would now become what we are. And I love that, because he desires us to be more like him. Thanks be to God for that. He wants us to be more like him. He wants us to overflow with himself. He wants the character in us to be the very nature and the character of God. His Spirit taking what we are and making it who he is. Does anybody else want that? Take who I am and make it who he is. That's what he's at work at doing. He's saying, the more I gave you my Spirit, because we couldn't do it on our own. Couldn't be done by our own effort. It couldn't be done that way. He said, I'm going to make you who I am. Go to Romans 8, verse 11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit of God, it lives in us. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to our mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within us. The ongoing Spirit baptism within us, that raises us from dead places. That takes that Adam's righteousness out of us and gives us Jesus's righteousness. That Spirit of God that lives within us says, no more are you Adam's. You are now Jesus's. You are now the same one that says, Abba, Father. You're the children of the living God. We are being more and more like him. And go to verse 8:2. Romans 8:2 says this, and because you belong to him, the power of the living, life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. I loved when I read that this week, because it said this. It said it had raised us from dead places, but we weren't just raised from dead places. It then said we became free. Imagine being raised but still bound. We ain't raised anymore and just bound. I've been there. He came into me before and I still was living bound to this soul realm. Feeding this soul realm my flesh. Feeding this soul what I wanted, what I thought, what I felt. And I was bound by every one of those places that I fed my soul, what I wanted, what I felt, and what I was thinking. But he said, no, I've given you my Spirit so that you would be free from that sin nature. He puts it this way. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied. Who no longer, I hope you can say this for yourself, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead, why do we got this Spirit within us? That we could follow the Spirit. We are becoming more and more like Christ, because the God in us has removed that sin nature and the power of that sin nature in us. He's removed it so that we now can live in the freedom of having his Spirit lead and guide us. He made a way for us to live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our sanctifier. It is the Holy Spirit who says, more like Him. That means every day and day out, I need to be hearing that Spirit say to me, more like me. Dino, I've freed you. I've freed you, High Street Worship Center. The Holy Spirit in us is the fulfillment of the very purpose for which we were originally intended. We were never intended to be slaves to sin. We were not intended to be slaves to sin. The original intent of God for us when He said, oh, I wonderfully and fearfully made them. The original intent was why He gave us His Spirit now, so that we would now be free to the purposes to live in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18 says this. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I'm going to be honest with you. We love shouting about that verse. I do. When I hear that and I see the Spirit move in the house, I get so excited. And not just in my goosebump way, but in my spirit, man. I do get excited when there's liberty in the house. But I want to take us a little bit deeper into what that means. There's going to be a little teaching here. Forgive me. I know we're going. There's a little teaching here I have to give you. Because when I realized this week, God said, no, I want us to get this. He's helping us to become, with the Spirit in us, more like Him. And He says, the Spirit of the Lord, where it's at, there's freedom. What does that word freedom mean? Hallelujah. When you look it up, I wish Brother Craig, he just stepped out. I saw Brother Craig today give somebody a Bible, and it said the Hebrews Bible on it. I said, is it written in Hebrew? How are we going to hear this big Bible? Like, here, brother, here's the Hebrew Bible. I said, praise the Lord. I love going back and reading what the words mean in the Hebrew text and in the Greek text. And so I want to give a little teaching real quick. That word freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It means this. It means that there is true freedom is living as we should be and not as we please. That's true freedom. True freedom is that we aren't living the way we please, but we're living as we should be. That's why He said you could look to a cloud and He could say that cloud will remind you that His ways are higher than our ways. He said, look to a cloud and you're going to be reminded His ways are higher than our ways. There is a way that He wants us. He said, you should be this, not as you please. That's the kind of freedom that God in the Spirit living in us is offering us, so that we would be those that say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I can live as I should. But it goes on to say this. A Spirit-filled vessel brings freedom from the dominion of corruption and its desires. That's why He gave us His Spirit. We were powerless without His Spirit. The truth of the matter is, we couldn't overcome that. But with His Spirit, we have freedom against the very dominion and corruption and the desires of this flesh, so that by every free will of our impulse, of our soul, our soul has impulses. Our soul has impulses. What we want, what we think, what we feel. But you know, when the Spirit of the Lord is there, there is a place, a power that says every free impulse of your soul will now be a place that lines up with the will of God. Can we receive that for such a time as this? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, He is saying that the Spirit is given to us so that every free Every free will place, we all have that will. When that impulse comes, what Dina wants, what you think, what you feel, you would stop and say, wait a minute. I got the power that liveth within me. There's a counselor within me. Hallelujah. There's a revealer that lives within me that says, guess what? God requires this. And then he says, now take up your cross and follow me. And now he says, this is the way to go. That's where we can rejoice, where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. But if you go down to the next verse, in verse 18, why does it say he gave us that kind of freedom? Why did he give Dino a freedom to not live by every impulse that I wanted? Why did he say, I'm going to give you my spirit so that now you would do what the Lord required? You would be now what you were made to be. It says this. So all of us. Who? All of us. Every single one online and in this room. All of us who have had this veil removed. That veil means we ain't looking through this flesh. We got the eyes. We got the magnifying glass. We got the spirit within us of the Spirit of God. For all of us, that veil was removed. We can do what? We can see. We are no longer blinded. And we can reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us what? More and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. That's the work right now that the Holy Spirit is calling us into. That's where we are being led to right now. The place where we are spirit-filled, baptized, ongoing, day in and day out, living in where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there is freedoms to not be tossed to and fro, but to actually walk in the power of God within us. Not every will of our impulse and our will. I thank God for that. That's a glorious thing, and that's not to be taken lightly. We can't take that lightly. That's a place that we need to say yes to, Lord. And you know, I've been learning. It's one thing to say amen, so be it. It's another thing to say yes, okay. It's even another thing to say hallelujah. But there's something to say, I receive that. There's a place when you hear truth, when there's a place that God is giving you, a place that is of his word, that is of him, that you can say, I receive that. It's already in you. You got the Spirit of God in you. You're a child of God. He is telling you, I'm calling you to behold me more and more so that you can become more like me. And he's reminding us that you've been given true freedom, because where his Spirit is, there's freedom. And that freedom is not to live as you will, but to live as he requires, and that he's giving you a place that it's not about the very impulses of your soul, but it's about the impulse and the possession of his Spirit's control. And I receive that, God. I receive that, God. I receive that, God. And so how is that walked out? That's walked out like this. Paul writes in Galatians, he says, work of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and don't gratify the flesh. This is walking. This is ongoing. He doesn't say, okay, walking. There's an I in walking. This isn't in here. This isn't just Sunday morning. He says, walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Don't gratify the flesh. We cannot live submitted to the Spirit at the same time that we're pleasing the flesh. They're opposed. They are two opposite things. They are opposed. The Bible actually says this in Galatians. Are you so foolish that what you have begun in the Spirit, you now are trying to perfect in the flesh? It doesn't work that way. Life is found in the Spirit, and it cannot be perfected by what we think and what we understand and what our desires are. He desires that we become more and more like him. And I'm going to go on to this last place that I want to share, because we're going to have an opportunity today to ask the Holy Spirit to again fill us. We're going to have an opportunity in the house today to say, wait a minute, God, you are reminding us, just like we clapped and shout and hollered for those that went down in the waters, how about there be a time where we now say, God, I need you more today than yesterday. How about today where it's just not a song here as it is in heaven, but again I say, I submit myself again to your fresh baptism. But I have to just share this place. He said, what you behold is what you become. And what you become is what you bring. Whatever you become, when I go someplace, that's what I bring. I remember it was taught to me this way. You could have a man, two men in a room, and you come into a room, and one man be just filled with pride. He don't even have to say a word. And another man be filled with meekness. Humility, don't even have to say a word. And what they had, it filled the room. You come in that room, you could tell, whoa, man, he got it. I got this. You, because what you become is what you bring. And so High Street Worship Center, I believe right now that the Holy Spirit is bringing us to a place to be his witnesses. He's preparing us to go out into that labor field. He's preparing us because it's not the place that is just here. He keeps telling us that. It's our homes. Our home is a temple. Our neighborhood and our community and our workplace, that's where he's preparing us to go traffic. The traffic place that we're going to be in, the Hong Kongs, and where are we going to be? We're going to be trafficking in those places. And he said, I'm telling you, you're going to traffic, I told a brother the other day, in the transcendent things. We are called to traffic in supernatural. We ain't trying to come and play bumper cars with everyone playing bumper cars down here. Beep, beep, get out of my way. No, glory, hallelujah. I had my eyes set on the things above. What I have behold, I have become, and it's what I bring. Glory be to God. I love what it said in Isaiah 61. You know what it said in Isaiah 61? It said the Spirit, talking about the Spirit in us. It's like Isaiah 61 said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring. The word also is preach. But that word, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to bring good news to the poor, comfort to the brokenhearted. This is the kind of trafficking in the transcendent that he says, would you behold that Spirit of God in you, that place in you, that what you are going to see me, that then you're going to become that, but then you're going to bring that, and you're going to be one to say, what, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I bring the good news. There's going to be captives he brings you to. Hallelujah. There's going to be ones that are mourning. He's going to bring you to the ones that are mourning. Hallelujah. And you're going to say, wait a minute. I've become. And he's given me something to bring. I tell my children, praise God, all my children are in the house. All five of our children are in the house. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you, Lord. I tell them all the time, I say, listen, we are not thermometers. We don't go into a room and go, ooh, it's lukewarm. Ooh, this room is cold. No, we're not thermometers. We are the thermostats. Hallelujah. We set the temperature wherever you go. You don't go in there because if you're just going to go in like a thermometer, you're going to end up coming out like a complainer. It's true. You go in there, oh, it's so cold. Next thing you know, can I have a jacket? You're going to be all distracted. No, you go in there with what God gave you to bring, and you be the thermostat. That's the kind of change that God's talking about. Spirit-filled and present. Our spirit is going to reflect him. We are made to live our faith out in a community in a daily way. Let's not be ignorant about this. This isn't, maybe I must be telling myself this so many times. It's not about just what happens here on Sunday. You know why I know he tells it to me all the time? Because I got it wrong so long. I thought it was how I went home and Did I have a soft answer that was turning away wrath? It was whether or not I had a covenant set with my eyes that I would look on nothing that would come in to corrupt within me. It was a place that God had to come in me and said, no, I don't take that bitter, and I don't make bitter sweet. I make sweet sweet. So I'm just going to continue to remind us that our faith is to live in community daily. Starts in our homes, and again, it goes wherever he sends us so we can bring it. I loved what it said in the New Testament in Acts. You know what it said about them, what they brought? They went through being with Jesus. They went through seeing him on the cross. They went through it all. They were in the upper room, and then guess what happened? And now all of a sudden, they are the ones that are bringing it. And you know what the Bible records? It says these are the ones who turn the world upside down. That's what they brought. They brought something the world had never, ever seen. They brought something the world was going this way. And all of a sudden, they came in with what God gave them, and that world got turned upside down. But you know how it ended? It's crazy how it ended. And it said this, and they came here. They were talking. Those are the ones that are turning the world upside down, and now they came here. That's what God's doing with us, High Street Worship Center. God's taking us in a place. Wait, if we go in some place, I want them to go, wait a minute. That's what God's bringing here. They the same ones that God's bringing here. Glory be to God. Just like that earthquake. That earthquake happened 44 miles from here. It shook my house like it was happening in my house. That's the kind of thing that God is bringing to us for where we are. That there's going to be a shake that goes out that's beyond just this place. It's beyond this place. That's what he's preparing us for. And I love what Paul wrote in Philippians 1:24. Look how confident Paul was. Philippians 1:24. Look what he said. He said, it is better that I continue to live. Imagine if I got up here and said, yo, everybody, it's better if I continue to live. And then you'd be like, why, Dino? This is why. Look what he says. Knowing this, I am convinced that I remain alive so I can continue. Listen what he says. So I can help to continue, help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. That's why we have breath. We have breath so that we can help one another experience and grow in the joy of our faith. Whether our son don't know Jesus, whether we got a sick loved one, it don't matter. There's a place that God's putting us into, the community of being baptized in him, hallelujah, where nothing else matters, so that we can help one another grow and experience the joy of our faith. I love Paul. Man, how that was so beautiful what he shared there. Another way to put that, he says, that your rejoicing may be even more and more abundant in Jesus Christ. So we're going to close beholding him, becoming more like him, and bringing him to those around us. That's why he gave us his spirit. That's why he has given us the very spirit in him, baptized and filled to overflowing. Behold him to become like to those around us. As the worship team, if we would again play here as it is in heaven. Whatever work the Holy Spirit needs to do in you today, give him room. Make room. Make room. Whatever it is, because you know what his heart is. He said,